It's 88.5 FM, Jeff Penfield, backstage at Amoeba Music in Hollywood with Guster. Ryan and Brian have joined me to talk about their new album, Look Alive, and their show at the Observatory coming up at in Santa Ana on Saturday. So thank you so much for taking time out before you're playing here.
Thanks for having us. Thanks for visiting us in a luxurious backstage area.
This is a cool backstage area for a records shop, man.
I think it's just a really cool space in general. Yeah. This whole building is awesome.
Spend hours in here.
Yeah, every time I come here, I'm so excited to come here and look at stuff.
But you're here today because you have a new album out, Look Alive. And there's a continual new feel in terms of the albums you've been releasing. So, you know, one of my first moves is always to listen back and heard a couple of songs on Evermotion. It was like, oh, yeah, they did start bringing in a little more of the synths and piano sounds and different sounds. But it seems like you kind of took another step with this album in that direction. What led to that? What was kind of the way, how did you start approaching this album as you started writing and recording it?
I think we're always trying to get out of our comfort zone. And this time we found a producer who was like really complimentary to us in that he exists in the world of keyboards and digital tweaking and things that we really know little about. So to work with Leo Abrahams and find common ground with him was to make something different than we've ever made.
And I think some of it for us was like, especially on that last record, Evermotion, I just really wanted to stop strumming my acoustic guitar. We came up with that in the first 3 years.
Next to an acoustic guitar.
Yeah, exactly. We're at an in-store though, man.
Yeah.
I think it was just, I started scoring films like 8 or 9 years ago, and I started playing with random sounds because it doesn't really matter for a film score. You can put whatever you want. And I found that like certain sounds, you would pull them up and it would instantly kind of make you think in a different direction. So I think for us, it was just about like pulling up cool sounds was just a way to get us outside, again, to speak to Brian's point, out of our comfort zone, and also just to kind of get us to think about writing compositionally differently.
And working with Leo, part of it was actually getting to get in the studio with him because he couldn't get in the U.S. for a work visa when he started working. So how much time did you have to find a studio somewhere else?
Like 2 weeks or something.
It was a mad scramble, and Luke found a Calgary studio, and you can go to Canada without a work visa and just make art together, which just feels like the way it should be.
Yeah, so, way to go, Canada.
Way to go, Canada.
Save the day.
Is that something that's just like they want to support musicians and artists?
Well,
and
I mean,
like
Canada
that?
Has a huge, obviously a huge infrastructure that's like for CanCon laws, and you like, there are musicians I know who get grants from the government just to make records and to be artists. So I think the place where we ended up first was place NMC, National Music Center, that has one of the world's greatest collection of analog keyboards that all work. So it was really fun. And then we went to my buddy Howard's place in Montreal. That was also just super great and really inspiring. Yeah. There's a great culture of supporting music there for sure.
Our chance, and this is our time. Come real quick, and let's feel life, feel life. We're no longer babies, pure, pristine, unbroken. Learned how to walk, but all I want is to fly. That's being alive, being alive, being alive. That's being alive. You don't come doing it by myself. If you don't care, do it by myself. By myself. confessed any crimes. Let's flip the switch and we can feel alive, feel alive, feel alive. There he is! I see you! Let's feel alive, children of America!
I saw that you were in the museum with all those keyboards that worked. Was there one that you kind of gravitated towards most of the time?
Yeah, so it's pretty amazing because it's like literally some of the rarest keyboards in the world and some of the most expensive and, you know, just super unique ones. And we ended up, the one that we ended up being on pretty much the sound of the record, as Leo put it, was this Ensoniq Mirage keyboard that cost like $150 and you have to put floppy disks in it. It was just, but it just ended up fitting what we wanted. So it wasn't the most esoteric or the, I guess it was pretty unique sounding. It ended up really being kind of the sound of the record in a weird way.
It's just ironic that we used the Ensoniq Mirage the most on the record, considering we were in a house that had, you know, Stevie Wonder's Tonto keyboard and like...
It's like $1 million keyboard and stuff.
But there's a reason why that one was there though. You know, it's an important piece of what that's about, and you never know what sound you're going to be attracted to that works
well. That's what I mean. It fits in with the ethos of the band in the sense that it's very democratic. It's like our band has always worked as like best idea wins, and it doesn't matter who comes up with it or how we get there. And I think that was very similar. It was like, well, the Ensoniq Mirage is the best keyboard for this song and maybe the other six too. And it
taking a look at some of the individual tracks, Overexcited was thus far the first single that we have from the album. I have to ask, where did the British accent come from?
The real truth is that the genesis of the song was very much in like the way that all these songs came, where the four of us were in a room and we just felt really free to like play any idea we wanted, and everybody just has to kind of say yes and go along with it. So at one point we're writing the verse, Luke starts rapping, it's really funny, it makes us laugh, and we're like, oh, but that part's pretty cool, let me just sing a melody over it. I'm singing a melody over it, it sounds really dumb. I start fake rapping again, but I do it in an English accent. It sounds really kind of charming and it kind of works, but we're like, we can't really do that, but let's just do it for now. And then we met Leo and he was English and we started doing it and it made him mad, but he also was coaching me on how to say certain words. And then we felt like we're like, all we need is one Brit to tell us it's okay to do this and we can do it.
I'm halfway home at the pub on the corner of the street. I see kids from school, but I stare down at my feet. Sports on TV, they scream for victory. A few blocks down, there's Dawn. She's got spinach on her teeth. In between the front ones, just a little bitty leaf. And I try to speak, but Dawn makes me nervous. Shop's closed. too bad, 'cause animals like me back. We had a dog once, we all just called her Cat. It was Mum's idea. She's got a great sense of humor. Later tonight, some soup, then I'll probably send a text. Hey Don, it's Jim, would you like to have the sex? And if that's too weird, maybe just hot chocolate. When you play the ride cymbal, the ride cymbal!
As you bring this album out on the road, you start playing shows like this Saturday at the Observatory in Santa Ana. What can fans expect? Is there anything new and exciting, or is it just kind of...
I think a lot of it's new. It's funny, like, we have we really felt that this record felt like a new version of our band. You know, we've been through several iterations. We had an iteration where Brian only played on his percussion kit and we strummed acoustic guitars. We had an iteration like with Joe, who was in our band for 7 years. This feels like Luke's been in our band for almost like over 8 years. So this feels like almost like a new thing. So yeah, there's a lot of new like things happening on stage with some of these sounds, but also I think we're just presenting kind of a little bit differently. I don't know, it feels new to me.
Yeah, I mean, we're still playing these songs with a lot of fear, like we still don't feel comfortable on them, but that makes it fun and exciting. But there's also, you know, it's a long set. We have 8 albums worth of material, so there's lots of our discography in there from other eras as well.
Yeah, we just did it. We just did a 2-night stand in Washington, D.C., and we've done multiple nights in one place before, but I think it's the first time we've ever done 2 nights back-to-back with no songs repeated, and it didn't really suffer, like the sets didn't suffer, which I feel like is a monumental step for us. Like, it just felt like, oh, wow, now we're here. This album almost put us over the over the hump that we could do that.
Well, and it keeps it fresh and exciting, where not only can you do a 2-night stand, you can also keep it so it's like, I just did this last night, but I get to do something different. I can do a totally different
set. Yeah, we
played
50 songs over the course of 2 nights. And so for fans, that's really special too, because a lot of people will come for both nights.
Yeah, and you're right. Playing on stage, if you're playing the same songs every night, it gets a bit humdrum. So it's nice to keep it fresh.
You're my satellite. maybe you will always be just a little out of reach.
Thank you guys for coming. It's really nice of you to be here. We'll see you in line, or we'll see you at the show on Saturday at the observatory, or we'll see you down the road. That's really nice of you to be here. Bye.
Ryan and Brian from Guster here, backstage at Amoeba Music.
Sorry, I'm smiling for the microphone. Didn't really work.
And Look Alive is the new album, playing at the Observatory in Santa Ana on Saturday. Thank you so much for talking with
us. Yeah, thanks for having us on your cool station. Way to go, guys.
It's 88.5 FM.